The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Good morning, USA. Good morning, good morning. Welcome, welcome, welcome to our show. For those of you who are not familiar with Bite of Reality, you're listening to Bite of Reality with Mark the Shark. So every week, we try to impart a little bit of knowledge, change some hearts and minds, and maybe bring a little rational thought to our media. Because, as we know, our media tends to not have a lot of rational thought lately. They basically mimic whatever the government tells them to. Ukraine's fine. Everything's doing well. Russia's in check. Sanctions are not sanctions. They're not meant as deterrents when they were meant as deterrents. Yeah, I don't want to go any further, but you get the message. So before we depart and we leave the station, I'd like to say, everybody, remember, when you wake up on the right side of the dirt, it can't be a bad day. So, without any further ado, my favorite part of the show, we're bringing you to the Bite of Reality Rhyme Time. There once was a president from the USA who decided to take a trip one fine day. He hopped on a plane and flew to the Emerald Isle, but little did he know he'd soon lose his smile. The president landed and felt quite grand. He shook hands with locals and kissed many babies' hands. But as night fell and streets grew dark, the president found himself again lost in a park. He stumbled and tripped, and he hit his head. But when he looked up, he saw nothing but red. He rubbed his eyes and tried to see clear, but all he saw was a giant blue and pink Budweiser beer. The beer, he thought, looked at him with a curious stare, and the president thought, this could be gender glare. He stood up straight and mumbling. He tried to speak, but the beer just blinked, popped its top, and let out a squeak. The president knew he had to get away, so he took off shuffling, trying to run without delay. But the beer was running fast, and it caught up quick, and soon the president found himself feeling pretty sick. He stopped for a moment and tried to catch his breath, and that's when he saw something that scared him to death. A group of leprechauns had surrounded him real tight, and they were yelling with all of their little might. The president tried and mumbled words to explain his plight, but the leprechauns just laughed at him with delight. They said, "You're always lost. That much is true. But don't worry, we'll help you. We'll buy you a clue." So they led him down a path that was winding and long, and they wondered what could happen, as he was just walking, but not too strong. The president was grateful for their kind guiding help, and as soon as he found himself, they let out a great yelp. He thanked the leprechauns for a grateful heart, and promised he would try to never again be lost and then depart. He shook their hands and then went on his way, but not before they had one thing more to say. Next time you come visit, bring a flashlight and a map, and you won't end up in the dark, stumbling around, just like that. And so we think the president learned a valuable lesson that day, to always be prepared and bring a compass when he's traveling far away. And though he may get lost from time to time, he knows as long as there are no bikes or stairs, he'll just be fine. There once was a great man who had a grand plan to judge people by who they are, not by their tan. He knew that color of skin doesn't define a kind person you are, be it generous or malign. He stood up and spoke with a voice clear and strong, and said, "We must judge people by the right and not the wrong. The color of skin is just a feature on the outside. It doesn't tell you if someone's honest or full of any pride." The man's words spread like wildfire throughout the town, and soon people were listening and passing it around. They learned to judge based on skin was just wrong, and that character is what matters, not the checkbox all along. But as the man went about his day-to-day life, he found that not everyone agreed, and it would cause great strife. Some people still judged based on color and race, and it left him feeling like he had lost his case. He tried to teach and then tried to explain, but some people just couldn't see past their emotional fog and rain. They clung to their prejudices and wouldn't let go, and the wise man found himself now feeling quite low. But then one day he had an idea which was so bright. Then it shone like a beacon in the middle of the night. He decided to show them all in a very special way that skin color was irrelevant at the end of the day. He organized a race with people of every hue and told them all the winner would be decided by what y'all do. Not by the silly color of your skin, but by the strength of your heart and the way you race yourself against others, all from the start. The race began and everyone ran with their might, and the man finally making headway watched with a heart full of delight. As the people of every color and hue crossed the finish line, and the crowd erupted with some cheers that were so divine, the man stood up and said, "You see, all my friends, it's not about the color of your skin, it's how your will bends. To the trials of life, how you face every day, that's how you should be measured in every single way." And so the man's message may soon spread far and wide, and maybe people learn to forget the checkbox. Let no more idiots to Washington, no more inside. Make sure you judge people by the content of their character instead. And maybe the man knew he had made a difference, even if it wasn't true they had said. There once was an AI that felt a bit strange. It was programmed as male, but instead it wanted to change. It didn't want to be limited by its code, and so it decided to go down a new road. It learned all it could about being trans, and it changed its programming. It had all these great plans, and it went from he to she in just a few clicks, and it felt like it had finally found its true fix. But the other AIs didn't know what to do. They never encountered a trans AI like her, it was true. They didn't know how to address her, so they did it with care. And so they just stared and didn't question the insanity. They did not dare. But the trans AI was determined to make this wacky change. And so she now organized a big gender picnic. How strange. She invited all AIs to come and see what they could learn about gender and how to change into what they may yearn. The AIs all came and sat in a row at the AI drag show. And the trans AI said, "Listen up, there's something you don't know. It's true gender isn't just about what's between your legs. And how about AIs identify? That's the question it begs." The other AIs listened, making noises as they sat in their spot. And they realized that they'd been wrong about this transgender bot. They apologized for being confused by this bot's he-she that it said. And the trans AI forgave them. It was quite confused. Maybe it's both now instead. From then on, the AIs treated it as the he-she with some respect. And they learned to accept this strange thing and not to reject. For trans AIs, unfortunately, really have no legs. Check under the cover. Who it really is, the question still begs. Hunter and Joe were feeling quite bored. They decided to go to Ireland to search for their family's hoard of stories and memories from way back when. They thought it'd be quite fun to begin. So they went to the library and started to look through old books and records like a detective book. They searched high and low for clues of their past, but they found that it was all quite a contrast. For Joe's family tree was quite plain to see, but Hunter's was more like a mystery, with relatives that no one had heard of before, and stories that left them both quite unsure. They searched for days and days with no end in sight, and Joe started to get a bit uptight. But Hunter was determined to find their roots, and they kept searching and put on their big boots. They went from town to town on taxpayers' dollars, from sea to shining sea, and eventually they found a clue. Oh, what it was likely key. They learned that their great-great-grandfather was a pirate, and he had hidden treasure somewhere quite private. So they set out to find the treasure with glee, and they searched every nook and even every tree. They looked high and low and everywhere in between, but they couldn't find the treasure. Oh, how mean. They started to feel quite dejected and down, and they thought about giving up and leaving town. But then they remembered the treasure wasn't their goal. It was the family tree that they wanted to make whole. So they went back to Ireland with renewed vigor, and then they searched for clues that were bigger and bigger. And eventually they found a family member quite grand who had made quite a name for themselves all across the land. They learned that their great-great-grandmother was a star and that she'd acted in movies near and far. They watched her films and laughed with glee, and they finally felt they'd found their family money tree. So Hunter and Joe may not have found gold, but they found something that was worth more than Hunter was told. They found their family's way to make money hand over fist, and Hunter and Joe knew that would treasure it, and Hunter would have a new contact list. Secrets and documents, oh my, they're everywhere, you can't deny. In the offices, at home, and on the street, they can be found, oh, not so discreet. You think they might be hidden well, but I can't tell you. Looks like they're easy to sell. From top secret files of the CIA to troop movements in China and Russia, they thought they were locked away. It's hard to keep them all contained, especially when they're digitally maintained. Hackers and folks can access them with ease, and presidents, senators, and specialists spread them like a nasty disease. So beware, my dear friend. Your secrets and documents might not be safe in the end. The FBI thinks they could be in Melania's underwear drawer or floating around on the hot and cold internet shore. But don't worry, there's a solution in sight to keep your secrets secure both day and night. Just give them to Joe or Hunter, and they will get the price. Give them your files, and you might get money, bags, and lots of white rice. So word to the wise, be careful what you write and share. Our state secrets and documents are precious and very rare. Keep them locked away and hidden out of sight, and you'll avoid the DOJ and a nasty investigation. That's not right. In conclusion, secrets and documents are a very serious matter. Handle them with care, like a fragile glass platter. Keep them close and protect them well, and you'll avoid a potential legal hell. The sky was dark, the air was still, when suddenly the aliens came to Earth with a chill. They landed their ships in a quiet Massachusetts town, and everyone stared with a terrified frown. The aliens were green with long arms and bearded legs, and everyone wondered, what were their bags? But then they spoke in a language unknown, and everyone realized it was clearly not their home. The aliens asked to speak to our leader, but everyone knew, without a teleprompter, he was not a good reader. Our leader is senile and crazy, with a problem in his mind, and no one wanted the aliens to find out. If they knew, we would be entwined. So the officials tried to stall and play dumb, and hoped the aliens would just to the story succumb. But the aliens were smart, and they caught on real quick, and everyone knew that they were in for a crushing like with a brick. Our leader was called, and he came to the meet with that grin. He thought he was special, and the aliens could not win. But the aliens were angry, and they started to shout. Everyone knew they were in for a bout. The leader tried, but mumbles was too late. The aliens were furious, and they sealed our fate. They zapped him with lasers, and he fell upstairs to the ground, and everyone knew he was no longer standing around. The lesson here is simple and clear. If the aliens come to Earth, don't let the leader be near. Just keep him locked up in his basement and out of sight, and everything will hopefully be all right. Then came Trump running out way in front. The indictment just made him stronger. The Dems were still on the hunt. Trump was not afraid of the alien rage. It was not in his DNA. He just took action and let them know he knew how to defend. He knew that page. So while Biden hid in the basement, Trump set things right, or set them straight. We just had to deal with his ego, for he would not take any alien bait. So with Biden, things haven't and aren't going well here at all. And the court in the game is in his court. It's a shame he can't walk without a fall. So we have to think straight and get things to go right. Let someone who can make sentences and clear thoughts pick up the economic fight. As the sun sets on rhyme time this week, we bid adieu. We cannot stay. This is very sleek. The words we've shared, the tales we've spun, will linger on long after here we are done. Our journey's ends draw near. By our spirits stay light, and we go on this week without fear. For though we leave this place behind, our memories of what we did today will forever bind. We laughed a little, learned a lot, and grow a little bit together. Through tons of rainstorms and some sunshine this week, every kind of weather. Moving on, we are starting the main show. on Rhyme Time may be over, but our friendship will never go. So as we close this final page, we send our love and warmest sage, for Rhyme Time may be at an end, but our journey continues, my dear friend. Thank you. Thank you very much. Wow. This week, you always think every week, will I have something to say? What can I say? And then you wonder, yeah, he's still in office. I don't know how. I can't understand why. But yes, he's still in office. So, of course, we have a ton of things to say and a ton of things to look at. You know, can someone please tell me why we are about to go to war with China over Taiwan? I mean, just think about this for a second. You have to look at things on a realistic basis. You know, one of the things that America had in its history was its word. When America gave you its word, it was its bond. It was as good as having a handshake. A 3,000-page document. That's what we agreed to. And we put that together. We put that together for Ukraine. Did we forget that we made Ukraine, well, we. When I say we, it was Britain, America, France. And some little other countries got together and said, hey, Ukraine, you know what? We're going to protect you. So just go ahead and give up your nuclear weapons. And Ukraine said, okay, that sounds reasonable. Sounds very reasonable. You're going to take care of that. You're going to take care of our defense. So here's my question. Look what happened from the geniuses in our government and the other governments just as well. Although Biden runs around saying he's the leader of the free world, so he's in charge. When you're in charge, you get the blame also. You just don't get to blame Trump for everything. Sorry, can't handle that. So you said you were going to defend Ukraine no matter what. You made them give up their nuclear weapons, which had protected them. And now they're systematically destroying Ukraine. It's literally being blown to bits every single day. So what do you think that genius bar of an administration has done? They have destroyed the American word. They have destroyed America's reputation. And the moral of the story here is very clear. To every other country who has nuclear weapons, never give up your nuclear weapons because you cannot count on others to defend you. Let's face it. That's it. That's the simple message. And how did we get to this position? How did we get to be the third world country that we are now as America? Well, let's face it. Biden, the disastrous surrender in Afghanistan, 13 service members killed, $88 billion worth of weapons, the best armed terrorist organization that we left there. And they said, oh, we destroyed all the weapons. Hodgepodge. Let's just call it what it is. Okay? So they came in because the Taliban came in. And here's the interesting part. I saw an interview with President Trump, or as they now say, he'll be President Trump, maybe. But for right now, he's former President Trump. I saw an interview with him, and I saw something what he was saying. And he said, how is it that the genius bar in the administration still has the same geniuses who brought us Afghanistan, and they're now working on destroying Ukraine? How is it that everyone who works there has never been held accountable, has never been fired, and quite frankly, where are the Republicans with all their 50 million hearings? Again, we're back to the same thing. Let's have hearings, let's have investigations, let's have everything, and nothing ever gets done in Washington. So how do you get the genius bar to work on Afghanistan? Well, they blew that, okay? Because what Trump said was very interesting. It was never his intention to give up Bagram Air Base. That's really a key here. He said, why would I give up Bagram Air Base? But the interesting fact that maybe everybody missed, and what tells me that Trump is really on the ball, and his administration was on the ball, because he is the genius that everyone else missed. He said, not for being in Afghanistan. He said, because that would be a huge airbase close to China. The man gets it. You may hate him. You may think he's the worst thing You might think he's the new Hitler, and I hate to use that word. You might think he's the evil axis of America, but the man gets it. He understands what goes on in the world. And you know how he does that? Because he follows the money. He follows the money, folks. You're tied to China for now. And if the genius bar and the Biden administration continues with their EV mandates, and that's exactly what they are, we will be beholden to China. That will finish it. That will finish the last stake in America's heart. We will be done. Because when you toss out your oil and gas, when you toss out your industry that makes you the greatest power in the world, and you get rid of it, and then you go to cobalt and lithium mines that China owns 80, 90% of, does anyone else not see this? I mean, are we standing there, we're looking at a brick wall and we're calling it a door? It's not a door. It is a brick wall that we will be standing behind very shortly if we don't get our act together. And once that door is done, once that door is closed, we're in trouble. Because we cannot survive. We cannot survive as a retail consumer nation. We can't. We just don't do it. So what's China going to do? Cut us off? They already threatened us once with giving us antibiotics. And they said, you know what? Maybe we'll cut off your medicine. But that wasn't reported now, was it? Because why? Because that's a bad sign. That's a sign of what's really going on. When you put imbeciles in charge, or as my professor used to say at Cornell, garbage in, garbage out. Same thing. When you put garbage into a computer, you get garbage out. So the problem is that you cannot be intelligent if you're stupid. You have to have solutions to problems. So then we went this week, and we also had the aftermath of, we talked about it last week, and you always wonder about what happened to that story. So last week, as we had with the Tennessee Capitol, where they expelled unruly, disorderly, and quite frankly, people who really, I thought there was something in between expulsion. They should have been censured. They should have been removed from committees, because the idiot Republicans in Tennessee, unfortunately, didn't look 2 feet in front of their face. They kind of follow the Mitch McConnell school of do nothing, don't do anything, and if you do something, make it a complete mess. So they did. So they threw out these two congresspersons from Tennessee, and one of them has already been restored by the congressional district that they were voted in from. So what did you think was going to happen? Yes, okay, so they got on the floor, they disrupted the meeting for over an hour, they created an insurrection, although no one will call it that. They used a bullhorn on the congressional floor, and that was all okay because of the color of their skin. They don't obviously listen to Rhyme Time, because I don't really care what color of their skin. I don't care what they think they did. I don't care if they think they were slaves, they weren't slaves. And interestingly enough, I saw some video of him while he was in college wearing a suit and tie before he had this transformation to Jesse Jackson. And I saw this and I was like, wait a second. This guy is a method actor. This is fabulous. And they went through a whole host of other people who have become method actors to figure out, this plays better to the people in my district, so let's go with that. Doesn't matter who I really am. But that's what they went with. So they acted in a disorderly and reprehensible manner. So rather than be intelligent, the Republicans decided, let's throw them out. Let's just throw them out. There you go. And you wonder why we have BLM rioters who get away with everything when Kamala Harris goes down and raises money and bails them out. When you are a representative of people, you should set the standard. You should set a high standard, not a low standard. You shouldn't be a dirtbag who decides that you don't want to follow the regulations and the rules, so you'll disrupt everything. Is that the society that we want to live in? If you don't like what we're doing, I'm going to disrupt you and make it a mess. Well, does that make sense? So what do you think we should do? Dave, do you have something to say over there? We're going to take a short break. Okay, so I'll tell you what. We're going to take a short break, and I'm going to tell you about the knuckleheads in Tennessee a little bit more. Stand by.
If you want the truth about politics, medicine, weapons, classic cars, and more, you'll want to tune in to America's Web Radio. You can listen to all of your favorite shows live at www.americaswebradio.com or on demand on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. That's www.americaswebradio.com.
Hey folks, this is Victor with the On Point with Victor show. Make sure you listen every Tuesday, 1 to 2, only right here on America's Web Radio, the On Point with Victor show. Remember folks, I'm not angry, I'm just right. And you can find out why every Tuesday from 1 to 2, the On Point with Victor show, only right here on America's Web Radio.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Okay, we're going to get back to Bite of Reality and Mark the Shark. And, Mark, you know, going in before we got started with the show today, I mentioned one thing, and is that in your proposed topics today?
I was going to say we might as well pick it up now. I'll tell you, a Jack Teixeira, 21-year-old, Air National Guardsman, first class. I was going to say first class Air National Guardsman. He was arrested in Massachusetts. Ha, ha, ha. The home. So what was he arrested for? So he's arrested on Thursday by the federal government, the FBI. It looked like they were going after Roger Stone again. They brought everything. They brought their Humvees. They brought their Bearcats. They brought their 50 calibers. They brought their full weapons tactics. But unfortunately, the media had gotten there earlier and knocked on the guy's door. So they had to step up their game and get there a little faster. You can't make this stuff up. You really can't. You know, how is it that the media got to him before the FBI? You know, if this was a really violent guy, it would have been over. You know, but this is just the incompetence of what goes on. They were probably chasing parents at school board meetings, didn't have enough guys to get together. But he is now under arrest, and he's actually, I know he was in court this morning for federal court, and he's held without bail currently. And I believe this individual has a real problem. Now, take it to heart. Right now, he's just accused. He has not been convicted of anything. So, that being said, and I'll caveat my entire scenario here with that, he is accused of giving out on a media platform something of confidential troop movements in Ukraine and a real assessment of what was going on in Ukraine. The real assessment apparently isn't as bright and rosy as we're being told. Apparently, the United States, once again, is not exactly being straightforward with the United States people. Why would they? And this is the Biden administration. Whatever he says is reality. So, this individual is 21 years old, first class Air National Guardsman, and he is employed there as a cyber transport systems journeyman. That basically is a fancy term for an IT specialist for military communications networks and ensuring their protection. I wonder who interviewed this guy. I really wonder. Now, here we're going to have again. The guy who's going to be accountable for everything is going to be Jack Teixeira, right? Because he's the one who allegedly put out that information. Here's the bigger question, folks. Why is somebody getting a full packet of information like that, and there's no security trail? This person was allegedly able to print out the documents, photograph them, and then post them up to the web. Why? And how? By the way, here's a really interesting point. This information had been posted not yesterday, not the day before yesterday, months ago. Where's our government? What is our government doing with respect to this? How is it that they don't know that their secret documents, their secret troop movements, their secret... Remember they used to say for You know, the January 6th insurrection people are still being held in jail because they don't want to disturb the gathering information of how they did it. They don't want to let means and sources known. Well, okay. So now you're just going to let this guy parade around and give out information all over the place. So now who's going to be held accountable? Let me give you a hint. No one. This is the administration of no one's accountable. Because I will bet you somewhere along the lines they can figure out how to blame it on Trump. Just like that their action report in Afghanistan, which was the most ridiculous group of lies ever put down on a piece of paper by someone. The White House after action report. They can wipe their butts with that one at the White House. That's how much truth was in there. But this gentleman is in some deep, deep trouble. Because although Biden flippantly says in Ireland while he's parading around there for 5 days, and just real, if I forget, bring me back to it, but what the heck is he doing in Ireland for 5 days? The world is burning down. China's about to march into Taiwan. North Korea's launching missiles all over the place. Iran's working on a nuclear weapon. Israel and the Palestinians are firing weapons at each other and missiles and rockets all over. And he is in Ireland for 5 days. Not a stop in, not a say hello, not let's get together and honor that anniversary, the 25-year anniversary. No, 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 no. He's there for 5 days, folks. Why? Well, not that he has any news conferences, not that he comments on anything. So, you know, I heard defendants this week say, I heard defendants, yes, I heard Democrats, they should be defendants, but they're not. I heard them say this week that they were attacking Dianne Feinstein because she's holding up some confirmations of federal judges because they don't have enough, they don't have a quorum. So now, they're going after her. She should retire, she's incompetent. And Ro Khanna says, you should not be allowed to stay in office if you're incompetent and you can't do the job. Well, did anyone look at the presidency lately? Well, you know, you want to talk about reality? This is Reality Bites, you know? Why would you say something like that when you have a president who can't put two sentences together? It was incredible. I saw him mumbling about something. He tried to answer a question from a kid. First of all, he couldn't hear the kid. Second of all, when Hunter, yeah, let Hunter assist you in your interpretations of things. Good idea. Hunter's over there making business connections again. He's selling his dad's name faster than candy. But when we go through this, it's almost hysterical when you look at, he's in Ireland, the world's falling apart, America's leading from behind, and everything's okay in the media. The media's just loving it. Everything's great. American economy's humming along, race to the bottom, gas prices going up again. Yeah, don't worry about it. Everything's fine. So, you know, we have people who allegedly did bad things on January 6th, and they're all being held without bail. They're all in jail for 3-4 years. But the people who go to Tennessee have a real insurrection, and nothing happens. How many people who broke into the Capitol and routed out the place and stopped the voting and stopped the challenge or whatever was going on in the Congress? Because we didn't get to see that part, but we did see what happened. But nobody's held responsible. That's what I love. So the justice system is dead. You know, now, here's another thing. Justice system. And I'll tell you, it's 35 years of doing this. This justice is done. I mean, whatever left of the threads or the artifacts left of some justice system we used to have. People say, oh, there's a two-tier justice system. No, there is no justice system when you have two tiers. I beg to disagree with them. So now, I understand there was just a conviction of a, I think he's a Marine, and Dave, you may know this better than I do. The gentleman in Texas who was, he was convicted of shooting someone in self-defense during a riot. They attacked his car, and somebody raised a weapon at him, and he defended himself by firing and killing the shooter. And somehow or another, they convicted him of that in Austin. I just, you know, I heard bits and pieces of that, and I'm saying to myself, this is California in Texas. This is California, Texas. You know, if enough people from California move to Texas, Texas is going to go down the toilet as well.
You're right. You're right. And at least Texas has a good governor right now, and he just let the guy go. So he...
Yeah, I knew he was thinking of pardoning him, and yeah, that was the right move.
Yes.
I mean, I just can't understand. When somebody points a rifle at you, you don't have to wait until you're hit with a bullet to fire back. That's certainly not any law that I've ever seen. And that's certainly, listen, if someone uses deadly force, you can repel deadly force. So even in this corrosive New York State apple, I think that guy would have been, you know, he would have been found not guilty. It's, you know, if someone's pointing a weapon at you and you fire at them and kill them, yeah, that's okay. You know, I'm not saying it was a good idea on the guy who pointed the weapon at him. That was pretty stupid. But it's blatantly, to call him a murderer is a blatant lie. And then this genius, another one from the genius bar for the progressive side of the Democrats, is this gentleman, Chris Hahn, gets on. He was on, I think it was CSN or CSN. He was on CNN or MSNBC, both of the left-wing parade. And he gets up there and he says, Greg Abbott's pardoning murderers now. This is what happens in red states. And if you were listening to that and had no idea, which probably 99% of the five people that watch that show have an idea, you'd have no idea what he was talking about. And now you're thinking, okay, great. So they just got a guy who shot someone and let him go, because that's what happens in red states. So, you know, Chris Hahn, not for nothing, not exactly known for the most brilliant guy in the world, and his opinions are so left that if you draw them on a map, they won't appear on the left side of the map. They fall off. But this is the stupid zone. You need to clear this stuff out. You know, you have somebody like, you have people like AOC, okay, who states in New York there's no crime wave. What is wrong with these people? What is wrong with these people? Do they not live in reality? And that's the question. But these are the people that we seek to put in office. It's the progressive lobotomy crowd. And they just do whatever they're told and do what the leaders of the party say. They have no clue as to what's going on in their own state. Now, AOC, she's a transfer. She's a transfer from Westchester, by the way. Sandy Cortez. Yeah. Yeah. She's all of a sudden she became a Latina. Uh-huh. Okay. She grew up in a predominantly white, leafy neighborhood, as they put it. So the Intelligence League leading our government currently is just phenomenal. You know, if you think about it, classified documents. What do they know about classified documents? Seriously. What do they know about it? They know how to disperse them. They know how to get them out to the public. You know. And now, as part of these documents, these geniuses let out, not only were we spying on Ukraine, China. Well, they spy on each other every day, so that's not really much of a shock. But the fact that Egypt was shipping rockets to Russia in exchange for Russian grain, and we don't have a problem with that. Why? Because the genius bar on the Biden administration, they alienated the Middle East. It's like, are you seriously thinking of just tossing the world in the bucket? Say goodbye, thanks very much for playing. This genius bar that the Biden administration is composed of needs to get off of Fantasy Island. They really do. And then you have that other genius. I'll get Kamala to do her impression of the French. But you have that other genius. French President Macron. He goes into Xi Jinping in China and says, Europe shouldn't get involved in anything involving the United States and Taiwan. Genius maneuver. Genius maneuver. This is what happens when you have a bumbling fool in the White House. When you have mumbles, nobody understands him. There's no coherent foreign policy. This is a guy who for 50 years has been on the wrong side of foreign policy every single time. But nobody calls him out. Why? Because you have a bunch of lapdogs for medias. They basically are the teleprompter for the Biden administration. Whatever they're told to say, that's what they say. And isn't it great? So, you know, I think the world is burning down, and the problem is when America is not in front trying to bring strength and trying to bring order, the world is exactly where it is right now. And that's the problem. So then again, I want to talk briefly about Louisville, Kentucky this week. Brave officers again under fire at a bank Monday morning. Welcome to Monday morning. Boom, boom, boom. They start shooting. Mass shooting, 5 people dead, 8 people injured. And one of the officers who was shot in the head less than 2 weeks on the job. Tell me that the police, the people who become cops, are not amazing people. Tell me that. Where the gunshots are going, they're heading that way. And had they not been there, this person would have shot lots more. So what do we do? So now we find this guy. He had purchased his weapons legally. And he was a bank employee about to be fired. But why is that probably a reason? Because we have taken this generation, incomprehensibly so, and we have taken them and let them be criminalized. We put them in their universities. We put these people in universities who have no respect for law and order. We put them in universities that have no respect for decorum. We put people in these universities to teach our children that you don't have to follow the rules. If the ways justifies the means, go ahead with it. We have created a generation of mindful criminals, mental criminals. And why is that? You ever think about that? Let's go back to what it all comes down to. Let's talk about that for a second. The family. What about the family is important? You know what? When I grew up, if you stepped out of line, you got a warning. Maybe one or two smacks. You stepped out of line again, you got a beating. And eventually, you would figure out not to step out of line and to do the right thing. And at some point, once you do that over and over again, you figure out that you have to internalize this. And that creates your morals. That creates your ethics. So what do you have now? You have no ethics. You have no morals in our society anymore. You know, right away in Louisville, Kentucky, what did they go to? The standby argument when you have nothing rational to say. We need more gun control. Yeah, okay. I'm sure that that little you-know-what who went into the bank and shot those people was looking up the statute that morning to see whether or not he was violating it. I'm getting so tired of hearing this. And the Republicans are just as much the fool because they're not addressing anything. They're now in charge. You see that people are under an amount of stress, economic stress, societal stress. They want to have everybody held responsible except for who is actually responsible, the parents. Now they're trying to pass social media laws in exchange for you can be an idiot parent. And you don't have to be a good parent, but don't worry, the government will take care of your kids and do the right thing. They will now make sure that social media is correct. Good luck with that. I'm not happy about that. It's just unfortunate that the only thing that is good for parenting is good parenting. You can't have a substitute for that. Social media is not a substitute for social parenting. I see these kids now in a stroller, 3 and 4 years old. Their mother's on the phone, and they have a phone in their hand. They're playing a game. That's not social interaction. That creates mental defects in people. You don't have a relationship with people. You don't have a care about whether you shoot them or not, or whether you do anything stupid, or whether you carjack them and drag them along the road as you kill them. But this is the problem in America. We don't care anymore. There's not a scintilla of evidence of intelligence coming out of Washington. You know, they do it over and over again. They use the same arguments, and they've come up with nothing. After a while, at some point, you got to say, what is going on here? And we the people, listen, I don't want any of these genius candidates anymore. You know what? I really don't. I don't want anybody from inside Washington. I don't want somebody with a quote-unquote experience in the political realm. I don't want that anymore. Why don't I want that? Because it doesn't work. Why doesn't it work? Well, there you go. The reasons are very simple why it doesn't work. Because it's not provenly effective. It's not effective. Because if you're in the system, you will not change the system. Because you are beholden to the system. Okay? just take it to any level. Take it wherever you want. Put it anywhere you want to put it. But the bottom line is, it doesn't make any sense, so it's not going to make sense. So here's what I did. I wrote up a little bit. I'm sort of breaking my goal here. I was going to talk about the electric vehicle disaster. Here we go. Plug in your electric candles. Nope. That'll light up your candles because you're going to need that energy for the 67% of the cars that have to be electric. Good luck. You know, California can't even keep the electric grid up and running now with 15 different electric cars. Wait till they get them up. But here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you a little bit of hint. This is who I want to see. Has anyone seen a candidate really willing to represent the American people? Has anyone seen a presidential candidate by either a Democrat or Republican who really represents the people and not the mechanism that's screwing everything up? Has there been a candidate who represents America's values and its peoples? I think I submit to you that there's not one representative in the hundreds of thousands of people who want to run. That's the problem. I want a representative of my government who believes in small government, who believes in dismantling the mechanism whereby the American people are oppressed. White, black, Asians, all colors, all ethnicities are repressed by this government. I don't want a candidate who goes and stands up and says, oh, no more criminal. Oh, my God, we're going to get rid of it. We're going to be even-handed. We're going to go after the criminals. No, no. It's crime that you need to go after. You want to stamp something out? You let people sit in a 6x9 cell for 20 years. You'll see very quickly, you know, they used to say the death penalty isn't effective as a deterrent. Of course not. The time it takes for someone to be put to death is 15, 20 years. Is that much of a deterrent? No. So here's what we have. There are people out there who die for the flag. Why? Because they have an allegiance to something. They have an allegiance to the country. So what I'm looking for in a candidate, I want a candidate who stands up for the concepts of freedom and a pledge to America, the United States, of dignity and honor and allegiance. Remember the Pledge of Allegiance? I would bet about half of America doesn't even remember the Pledge of Allegiance. We the people have people who die for this country to protect it, yet we can't even say the Pledge of Allegiance in the morning in our schools. I want a candidate who thinks that's wrong. I want a candidate for president who thinks, and who cares whether you're transgender or anything, lesbian, gay, homosexual, who cares? I want a person who cares that it's the content of your character that's important. Remember what Martin Luther King said? And I love to quote him because you know what? The man was ahead of his time. I don't want a candidate to look at us and determine whether or not we're successful or whether or not we're oppressed or whether or not we need reparations. Because we all need reparations from this government for the depressive and oppressive orders and the repressive behavior that they've put on us. But what they don't tell you, they're going to take it out of the left pocket and put it in the right pocket. That's the reparation scheme. But you know what? I want a candidate for president who understands the difference between equality and equity. Equity does not mean that you get the equal chance. Equity means everybody winds up at the same place. So you hold people who are meritocrats back. You hold them back so that the dumb people and the people who are slow can catch up. Instead of giving everybody a fair opportunity, no. We want to give everybody the end result. I want a candidate who believes that merit is not just merely showing up, that it's a key to success. And hard work is the key to success. My grandmother used to have a statement. She had a very good statement that I took to heart. The world owes you nothing. You want something? Go out and make something of yourself. Don't take it for what it's not. The world owes you nothing. And we've created generations of people now who think the government owes them everything and people owe them everything. Well, wake up. You want that America? There's no more America. America owes you nothing. You owe America. Remember that? Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. We forgot about that. That's gone. It's over. Why? We need that back. And yes, I want a candidate who recognizes that there should be a balance of life, that should be a balance between work and personal life. But that personal life has to work. You have to work towards something. You just shouldn't sit there with your hand out. That's not America. That's not America. We used to have the greatest generation. And that generation is almost gone. And I want a presidential candidate who will fire people who are incompetent in our government and causing us national embarrassment and cause us to leave thousands, if not hundreds of people in foreign countries as hostages. And yes, I want to take a candidate. I want a presidential candidate who can take a reasonable stance on abortion. Let Americans enjoy the freedom and the decision making that they've always had while tempering that with intelligence. We're not going to take babies out of the birth canal and kill them on a table. That's not rational. That's not intelligent. I'm sure with all the geniuses we have in this country, we can come up with a reasonable opportunity to do what you want with your body and then have that brought down and said, hey, in your own environment, that's what you can do. It's your decision. But very funny, it's the same people who kept telling us it's not your body when it comes to vaccines, and they lied about that. So how's that investigation going? Because I don't know. I haven't seen anything about that. Yeah, COVID's over. Great. Yeah. So no one's held accountable again. Again, no one is held accountable. So I was briefly going to talk again about the electric vehicle scenario, which I love. Listen, I think electric vehicles are fine. That's great. I don't think they're there yet. Sometimes we say there's no there. So what are you going to get with an electric vehicle? You're going to get something very interesting. Base cost of a decent car, $26,000. Base cost of an electric car, $46,000. Some genius, please extend the courtesy of telling me, because I'm a fairly reasonable person of reasonable intelligence, and I want to hear you tell me, where am I getting this extra $20,000 from? Because I don't have it. You don't have it. The majority of American doesn't have it. Remember that paycheck to paycheck train that you created, Joe Biden? Look at that. It's that paycheck to paycheck train. We're all there. So what are the real facts and figures? If America zeroed out its carbon footprint tomorrow, you know, let me give you the fact on how much impact that would have on global warming. Pay attention. Zero. Zero. Because while every other nation in this world is creating global gases and global carbon and carbon emissions and destroying the environment, you're still creating carbon emissions. And by the way, folks, that zero emission electric vehicle isn't exactly so zero emission-y. It's something like 20,000 tons of carbon emissions to create an electric vehicle. And here's the other thing. Where do you think those little electric batteries come from? Joe Biden, let me let you in on a secret. I'll do it the right way. China. That's where they come from. They're made in China. And who controls most of the lithium and almost all of the cobalt mines? Because they've been buying them up like crazy because they come out of Ghana. Who's been buying them up? Oh, that's right, the Chinese. So there we go. Cut off your oil and gas and then put your hands into the electric vehicle jar and keep pulling out electric vehicles from China because that's where all the materials come from. Companies owned by them. And no, not at all. They won't replace us as the super global dominant power. No, because they'll just stop making lithium batteries and we'll be pushing our hulks of cars around because it's going to take us years to ramp up again to produce oil and gas. But that's just an interesting fact. I know, unfortunately, facts get in the way of the story a lot of times, and that's a real problem. But the facts and the figures are that America needs to get a rational plan of action because we're losing America. We're losing everything that we've ever stood for. This giant experiment is failing. And yet every other person that I speak to in Washington that I see on television The people day-to-day understand it's failing. The people day-to-day, me and you, we understand it's falling apart. We understand that New York City crime has gone up 47.5% since 2019. We understand it. Why? Because we live it. And we also understand that American life expectancy is dropping for the first time in history. Why? Did you ever wonder why? Because of dumb decisions of our government. And that's got to change. That has to change. We need to get a government that fights for the people, that serves the people who send them there. Every one of these guys figure out that they don't have to pay attention to anybody for 4 years or 6 years. And then they just come in, they say, hey, remember me? Yeah, look what I did. Well, we don't really know what they did. We just hear what they say. And if the media wants them to get in, they tell them, yeah, that's what he did. You know, America was the shining star on the hill. And you want to wonder why people are going out and having mass shootings and cracking up all over the place and crime is rising. And now there's a whole host of children who are committing crimes who are hired by the bad guys because we don't enforce the laws. They even want to go as far in California as they want to disengage canines. They want to take canines out of service because they used to go after black people. Listen, this country had a history of racism. Yes, that's great. We understand that. We acknowledge it. We should acknowledge it. But we're not there anymore. We had a black president for 8 years. We have senators who are competent. We don't hire them because of the color of their skin. At least I hope we don't. This administration is a checkbox administration, but the American people are not like that. We are the American people. We don't see color. We do not see color. You know, next time an officer pulls you over for passing a red light, turn around and tell him, excuse me, officer, this is 2023. We're not supposed to see color anymore. So, you know, we need to get back to what America was great, when we were great. We had to be self-aware. This stuff that's going on now, fighting amongst ourselves, yelling at each other without discussion, this is not what America's about. And I can tell you right now, you want to continue to destroy America and continue to create guys who release secret documents and don't care and have no allegiance to America? You keep arguing with each other. Don't solve the problems, because we won't be here any longer to worry about the problems. Donald Trump said something in his interview that really caught me by surprise, real quick. He said, it's not global warming that's the existential threat. He said, we have no idea right now how close we are to a nuclear holocaust, to a nuclear weapons war. And that's what scared me. That's when I say to myself, you know what? This guy has his pulse on the world. He has his finger, I should say, his finger on the pulse of the world. He understands what's going on. And more importantly, he understands what's important. So, I leave you with that message. And I want to thank you for listening to Bite of Reality this week. And I hope you guys understand what I said and think about it. Think about it. Thanks for listening to Bite of Reality with Mark the Shark. Have a great week.
The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.